and welcome to the Vineyard. We're so glad you chose to spend part of your weekend with us. It's a joy to get together week in and week out. And I am so excited to share this message with you today. I feel a little bit like the shepherds when the angels appeared, and when they talked to the shepherds, when they said, "I bring good news of great joy." Because today we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate everything God has been doing and is doing in this house. And I believe that he wants to meet us here with his power and his presence. And so I'm not even going to wait to invite his Holy Spirit to take over and do what only he can do today. And so we say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you today. Give us ears to hear, God. Give us eyes to see. May you be glorified today, Jesus, as we tell the incredible story of everything that's been happening in this season. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was exactly 1 year ago on July 9th, 2024, when the Spirit of God broke out in an unusual way in one of our staff prayer meetings. And what ended up happening was that the power and presence of God fell in this place, and we were changed forever. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit of that story today and catch you up, because what ended up happening was that we sensed that the Holy Spirit said, it's time to relook at the vision I've given you. In January of 2024, the Holy Spirit said, it is going to be, or 2025, he said, it's going to be a season of expectancy. And we said, okay, Lord, we're listening. What does this mean? And he took us to a foundational verse in Ephesians 3. This is a powerful prayer of Paul's. And so I want to turn there right now, and let's allow faith to be stirred in our hearts again as I pray this prayer out over us. This is Paul's words. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This was the passage that the Holy Spirit breathed on. And, you know, the truth is we could take the entire morning to unpack this prayer, but I'm just going to pull out a couple of important points, because this is a really important thing for us. Paul, he prays for strength, not from us, but from the Lord. And he says that this strength is going to come as we dwell with Christ. As we lean into trust, two things are going to happen. He is going to make his home in our hearts, and our roots are going to go down deep into him. And this rootedness is going to be really important so that we understand how high and how wide and how deep his love truly is for us. And Paul says, listen, this love that he has for you, it's beyond comprehension. You'll experience it, but you won't be able to fully understand it. And when you have access to this love, you have access to God's power. And the amazing thing is that then what happens is God does more than you can ask or think. Some translations say, imagine. And all of this is for one purpose, to give glory to God in his church for every generation, forever. This is powerful theology, but it's more than that. It is an invitation. It is a declaration of the church that we are becoming. And so last fall, when we initially read Ephesians 3, and I'll tell a little bit of that story, we felt like the Father said, look at your vision. And it was like he was saying to us, lift your eyes, raise your expectancy. I am doing something new. Well, back in January, we began with our series, Revived by His Wind, that's the Spirit, and His Word, the Bible. And we began to talk about this season of expectancy, what we believed God wanted to do. And truly, we have been revived in so many places that we didn't even know that we needed to be revived. And it's been more than we could ask or imagine. But here's the thing with vision. Even when vision is crystal clear, even when we repeat it, even when we talk about it, the reality is vision has a tendency to get cloudy. Vision gets muddled. Why? Well, life. Does anyone else just feel like the weeks are flying by? How are we in mid-July? I'm a summer girl. I want to be by the pool. I want to be eating garden tomatoes. And suddenly I feel, these weeks are just flying by. We get easily distracted. We're pulled in so many different directions, and we have demands on our time and attention. Or maybe this year has been a tough year. Maybe you've encountered pain or problems, and you know the vision hasn't really stuck with you in that journey. Any of these can cause the flame of expectancy to flicker, but this is what Scripture says about a lack of vision. Proverbs 29:18 from the Message says, "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed." I love the wording here. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Another translation of this says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Vision is really important. And so today what we're going to do is we are going to recalibrate our hearts around the vision that God has given us. And the truth is, some of you are well aware. You understand what's been happening. You're tracking with us. Others of you, you're brand new. It's your first time at the Vineyard. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here today. Others of you, maybe you've been in and out in this season, travel, life, work. What our hope is today is that we want to give everyone an update, to celebrate together. And so this is going to be interactive. You're going to have to cheer with me because I'm going to share some really good news today. This is what I want you to know. More importantly than the stories and the numbers, I want you to know this. I believe today that the Holy Spirit is here to stir faith, that you are a part of this. You see, in the Vineyard family, everybody gets to play. There is no one on the sideline. There is no one just attending. We are an army that is rising up for what I believe is coming next. And so with that, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to just explain a little bit more of the story of what's been happening. So as I said, 1 year ago, the Spirit of God broke out during a regular staff prayer meeting. And what happened was suddenly bodies were flying all over the room and people were weeping and laughing and joy was breaking out. Now listen, we're weird. Okay, we know we're weird. Okay, that's why you like us, that we believe in the supernatural manifestations of the Spirit. But this was weird even for us. Okay, so you know that it was pretty intense. And so the Spirit of God fell, and we were like, wow, what is that? And then what ended up happening was that the Spirit continued to show up, oftentimes in small places and spaces. So maybe in prayer or during a staff meeting, but it did begin to leak. And eventually, our leaders gathered together at the end of July, and we had a really pretty explosive time with the Holy Spirit. And then that began to kind of leak into our services. And all we did was we told the story of what was happening. And anytime we told the story, the Spirit would show up. And so we began to just steward this. Listen, we're not trying to hype anything. We have no power. He has the power. We are simply stewards in this season for the story that he is writing. And so we tell the story, and then the Spirit would break out. Well, in the fall, we really sensed the Holy Spirit saying, listen, you got to get serious. You got to go back and you got to look at your vision statement. So let me give you a little bit of history. About 5 years ago, our executive team, we read a book called The Vision Driven Leader, and we worked really hard on our vision and our mission to clarify those things. And vision being like, what's our dream out there? What are we going for? And the mission, like, what's the here and now? How do we do that? And that's where we got our mission statement, Encounter Love, Experience Transformation, and Extend the Miraculous. And at that time, we also wrote a vision script. So in this book, they said, like, you need more than just a sentence. You need a little narrative. Well, the hard part was this vision script was very good, but it was too long. So it was beautiful, but it was difficult to carry. And it wasn't getting into our hearts. And so we felt like the Father said, you need to relook at that. Well, in the fall, Mike and I went to Maui to celebrate 20 years of marriage. And it is very easy to hear the Holy Spirit while staring at the Pacific Ocean. It's just a gifting that I have, actually. And that day, I opened up my one-year Bible, and I was reading Ephesians 3, and I feel the Holy Spirit say to me, everything you need for the next season is in this passage. And so I began to read, and I began to weep as the wind was blowing. And it was more than just the tropical wind, although that was also blowing. And then I read Ephesians 4, and I felt like he said, these are your instructions. And I was like, okay. So I come home, and I'm like, okay, we know we're going to have to write this. We know we need to relook at this. That was the plan. Well, in the fall, the Spirit just continues to kind of stir in our midst, and it's kind of bubbling up here and there, and man, we're just enjoying it. And you know what happens on our team? Our level of expectancy rises. We never know what the Spirit's going to do, and it's amazing. It's a little scary, but it's amazing. In December, something amazing happened. We paid off all of our building debt. That's right. This church is 100% debt-free, which is amazing. 47 years old, and we owe nothing. I'm just so incredibly grateful for your generosity, for the stewardship of those who came way before me, and the stewardship, of course, of our team, and it's truly amazing. And we felt like the Holy Spirit was just completely setting us up. And so we enter into January. We've rewritten the vision script, and so we sense that the Holy Spirit say that there is this thing with the word revived, that we are going to be revived by his wind and his word. And so as we go into January, we're speaking this and we're talking about this, and then we meet with our leaders to show them the first draft of our vision script. And I want you to know that you can read this. So I'm going to put a link up. This is from our Give, Pray, Fast resources. But if you go to this resource, the vision script is like the third or fourth thing down. It's a one-page document where we declare what our vision is. You see, we're asking God for a revival in the Midwest. We're asking God for his kingdom to break through in every area, relational, financial, physical, in every area, that the kingdom of God would come and break in. And we want you to read it. We want you to be able to understand what this house is all about. We said this is a season of expectancy. It's going to be more than we could ask or imagine. And so we gathered our leaders. We shared this with them. And some of us were beginning to get a sense that we were about to go on a roller coaster ride. Now, some of you love roller coaster rides, and others of you are like, ooh. So we enter out of January into February, and I'm going to tell you, we got on the most wild roller coaster ride I have ever been on, because it started off with that first weekend in February when we hosted an event called Soul to Soul. Now, if you're not familiar with Soul to Soul, this is our annual celebration of Black culture, the richness and beauty. And we had Dr. Charles Montgomery come from Ohio, and he brought a word to us on unity. And then partner that with Joshua Miller and Kyle and our own team here, Praise and Avia, who led us in incredible worship, gospel-style worship. That weekend, something happened to me, because I felt heaven meet earth here. And I believe that what God wants to do here is in kingdom diversity, where every tribe and every tongue and every nation come together around the presence of God. That is the thing that unites us. And so people came together and we worshiped with freedom. And literally, I was like, okay, so I think something might be happening. 2 weeks later, we have Reverb, which is our annual youth conference, where over 400 youth from all over the region gathered in Southern Illinois, and it was just an explosive weekend. And what did we do? We told the story, and the Spirit showed up. We told the story, and the Spirit showed up. We told the story, and the Spirit showed up. That's what we're doing in this season. We're saying, this is what's happening. And what happened was these students ran forward because they are thirsty. They are thirsty for life to be different. They are thirsty to participate in a move of God. And so it was incredible. It was more than we could ask or imagine. And then 2 weeks later, well, about 10 days later, we had our More Love, More Power conference, where 1,300 people show up here to get equipped and encounter the Father. The freedom during worship, it was wild. The speakers, the ministry. I mean, if you were able to attend, you know, it was crazy. And on Saturday, we end up experiencing hundreds of healings through words of knowledge and laying on of hands. And just this week, I had the opportunity to get an update on someone that I had prayed for. It was a young couple, and she was expecting, and they were told that the baby would not live outside the womb. And of course, they were devastated. And so we prayed. And just this week, I got an email that their son was born alive. And he has some challenges. But in their own words, nothing that the God of the universe can't fix. And so Jesus, we do just speak full healing to that sweet little baby right now. God, would you finish what you started? And God, we thank you for every healing that took place at More Love, More Power. So it was wild. And all this time, you know what kept happening behind the scenes? All the other things that make church, church. Did you know we have an incredible Kingdom Kids program where every week kids get to know who Jesus is? They get to experience him in their own context, at their own level. And guess what? 44 kids have said yes to Jesus this year. 44 kids. That number is crazy. And just today, one of the students, they saw a picture of God holding a baby. And they went and shared with Taylor, our kids pastor, that they believe that today maybe there's someone here who is struggling with infertility. And today, Jesus wants to heal you. And so later on, I encourage you to come forward and get prayer. There is no junior Holy Spirit. These kids are experiencing signs, wonders, dreams. We have a five-year-old, and they've talked a lot about dreams. And so now I am just the recipient of quite interesting. I'm like a little, and then she's like, listen, Mom, I'm not done. I'm like, okay. It's really a blessing. Our youth, I'm going to brag more on our youth. They are just doing incredible things. The youth, they were on Wednesdays. Yeah, they can toot your own horn. Toot, toot, toot. They were on Wednesdays. They moved to Sundays. They grew by 40%. That's not normal. That's not normal. And again, I share all of this not so you're clapping for me. This is not me. This is him. I'm actually not that smart. I'm not that good. It's about him. It's about what he's doing. They grew 40%. At the end of the year, they started these things called Bible clubs, which are student-run Bible studies in schools, and they have a dream. Would you pray for them? They have a dream to be in 20 schools this fall where these students, they are taking, and I'm hearing story after story of students taking the helm, telling their friends, that is how this thing spreads. Just beautiful. Of course, we started Transformation Tuesdays. And in Transformation Tuesdays, we had some incredible things happen. I have the privilege of leading the Alpha course where we introduced over 100 people to the basics of Christianity. And the amazing thing is these people are my friends. I think about Juan and Melissa. I think about Victor and Allie. I think about people who met Jesus, who met the Holy Spirit, whose lives were transformed. We have the School of Kingdom Ministry. Many of you have participated in that. We had, this year alone, over 1,000 students, but we've had 8,000 students over the course of the school where we have trained people to live a naturally supernatural lifestyle. One of my favorite things that's happened this year with the school is there's a girl who she's been at this church a long time and raised in this church, and she's a teacher, and I got to hear some of her testimonies, and her boldness inspired me. This girl's just bold. She's like, I'm going anywhere. I'm telling people. And then she ended up coming to Alpha, and she helped one of our Alpha friends in a transformation group. And what I love about this is her life was transformed, and then she's helping this gal whose life is transformed, and then they're gonna, and it's just like this beautiful picture. TVC College, exploding. If you weren't here last week to hear Dale, our college pastor, share a quick testimony, they are just going after it because it is a season of obedience for them. Where they're saying, Jesus, it is all about you. We have what the world needs. And again, all this while, guys, small groups are still meeting. If you're a small group leader, thank you. Thank you for hosting small groups. Yes. Thank you for leading people and loving people. The prayer in this season, many of you are part of intercessory prayer groups or you're praying for us. This entire thing has been cloaked in prayer. And I am so incredibly grateful, specifically to Mike and Kathy Krasta, who on our team have stewarded prayer for many years. But many of you, you've prayed. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying on the ministry team. Thank you for praying at the hospital. Thank you for praying during the week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Of course, our Hope Center, just right up the street down on Lincoln. Every single week, we are feeding hundreds of people. And the volunteers and every single person is offered prayer because that's who we are. That's who we are. All of this is continuing to happen as we're going. Now, some of you might not know, but we have a Sullivan campus about an hour south of here, and they are also experiencing incredible breakthrough with their youth and specifically with young adult men. And we've heard this. We've heard that the Holy Spirit is he's going after young men, and he's drawing them unto himself. And we love that. Their small groups are exploding. It is more than we could ask or imagine. And if I just stopped today and said, Jesus, that's it. You've done it. Lord, wow. Wouldn't that just be an amazing year? It would be an amazing year. but I'm not even at April yet. Because April rolls around and we know we need to do baptisms. And so we add an extra service because we're like, okay, we have too many people to fit them on Sunday morning. So let's do baptisms on Sunday night. And that day we baptized 76 people in one day. Yes. You do not want to know what that water looked like at the end of the night. It was bad. Okay, so then after this, some of our team started saying, I think we're going to have like a summer of the spirit. And I was thinking, yes, a sweet summer of the spirit where we could rest. We could catch our breath after all that God's done this year. That sounds wonderful. I'm a summer girl. Listen, I want to be at the pool right now. And so I thought that sounded great because I had my own idea about what a summer of the spirit looked like. But then June happened. And in June, what happened was that our youth who are leading the way had a conference called Sons and Daughters, where a pastor named Michael Faylauer from Corpus Christi, Texas came and he brought with him a word. And his church has been in sustained revival for 8 years, and they have baptized 8,000 people. That is incredible. And their model is really simple. Their model is that they keep a tank up on the stage and they allow baptism to happen. They make a call and a response every single week because their assumption is that we are telling the stories and the Spirit is stirring. That's what's happening. As people tell their stories and they invite people, then the Spirit moves. And so what ends up happening during Sons and Daughters is the Spirit breaks out and there's all of these salvations and baptisms and recommitments, and it's wild and it's wonderful. And so that is why we have continued to put a tank on our stage, allowing baptisms to happen. What is baptism? Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward reality. What baptism is it is a symbol. The scripture says that when you come to Christ, you die and you are resurrected to a new creation. And so this is a grave up here. It's a watery grave where you go down as the old creation and rise up as the new creation. Now the water has no power. Jesus has the power. It is simply a symbol for our eyes to see. I am no longer who I used to be. I am a new creation. And so that's what baptism is. And today, if you want to be baptized, we will allow you. And guess what? We have shorts and t-shirts and towels because we have learned a few things. Because this is what the Spirit of the Lord has done in the 4 weeks since we've had this tank up here. 73 people have said yes to water baptism. You want to talk about more than you could ask or imagine? I don't have an imagination for this. I don't have an imagination. I thought it was going to be a sweet summer of the Spirit where I was taking a nap. But look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. It's been beautiful and it's been messy and it's been marvelous and it's been wonderful and it's been more than we could ask or imagine. In the midst of all of this, just so you know, we're part of the Vineyard family, a much larger group of churches. There's 500 in the U.S. There's about 2,000 around the world. And the Vineyard heard that things were happening here. And so they asked if a team of ours would come to two conferences, a West conference and an East conference. So in June, a group of us went out to Denver. And what did we do? We told the story. We told the story of what's been happening, and the Spirit of God met us powerfully in the movement. And then this week, about 40 of us, I believe, are headed to Cincinnati for the Vineyard East Conference. And we're going to tell the story again, because here's the thing. This is not just for us. This is what God is doing all over the world. These baptisms, it's happening. I don't know if you've read the news, but at Ohio State University and at Purdue and at other universities all over, the Holy Spirit is breaking out and people are coming to faith and then they're getting baptized right on the spot. And so I feel like let's ask right now. Let's ask for the University of Illinois and let's ask for Parkland. And so God, you say that you want to do more than we could ask or imagine, but we're going to ask, God. And so we ask now for the University of Illinois. We ask Jesus for mass salvations, for mass baptisms, for a unity in this community, God, would you do more than we could ask or imagine, but we are asking, God, would you fill every student, undergrad and grad, post-grad, God, every person, employee, in Jesus' name, Father, would you do more than we could ask or imagine this year? Amen. Now, in case you think I've just made it sound like this was the easiest year of my life, I'm going to be real honest that it's been one of the toughest years of my life. Because you see, the stirring of the Spirit is rarely neat and tidy. It often stirs emotion. Sure, has there been joy and awe and wonder and glory and thank you, Jesus? There's been plenty of that. But there's also been pain and questions and tension and disruption. But what I want to say to us right now is this. This is not chaos. This is harvest. And if you're a farmer, you know that harvest is a crazy time. It is dusty, it is messy, it is hard work, and it is glorious because you get a yield in the end. And that's what this is. And so if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel like I have questions, okay, first of all, questions are not bad. Whoever told you questions are bad, that's just a lie. You know what questions are? When you have questions, it's an invitation to lean in and to into intimacy with Jesus and into leadership. Help me understand. Here's another thought for you. If you see a problem, could it be that you're supposed to solve that problem? I can't, in my wildest imagination, I could not have dreamed this year. What I'm saying to you today on this stage, I'm not that smart. But he is. And he is good, and he is wonderful. And what he is doing in this season is he's saying, please steward this baby that I'm giving you. Tell the story so that the Spirit can break out so that I can do what I want to do in Central Illinois. That's what he's saying. I believe there's some instructions, though, to us in Ephesians 4. So let's go to Ephesians 4. This is, again, right after Ephesians 3. So we read this powerful prayer. Love is going to be super important this season. It's going to be the thing that propels us. It's going to be the thing that empowers us to do more than we could ask or imagine. And then let's go to Ephesians 4. Because this is what I sense the Father saying, how we are to relate to one another. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. So how are we going to respond and relate to each other in this season of expectancy? How are we going to do this? In gentleness, with humility, with patience, making allowance for one another. Why? Well, the oneness rule. There is one God and one faith and one Lord and one baptism, and we are called to be one. Now, these are fairly simple instructions, but that doesn't make them easy. And so we're going to have to come back to these instructions, and we're going to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I need to make every effort to be united in the Spirit. And so what does that mean? Gossip, it's got to go. Impatience, it's got to go. We must assume the best when it comes to people because we are brothers and sisters with the Father who wants to help us. And so I want to encourage you, if you're struggling in these areas, give it to the Spirit. Allow him to speak his truth to you. Because here's the deal, following the Spirit, being people marked by expectancy, it's going to cost you something. It's going to press into your preferences. It's going to press into your need to control things. And the Holy Spirit is here to help. Now listen, I love this church. I hope I do because I lead this church. But I love this church. But listen, we aren't the right church for everybody. Amen. And I want to say this. We have great relationships with many churches in this community. And the Holy Spirit, amazingly, is doing a work between churches. Did you know that we have multiple churches gathering right now and praying for revival to break out in Champaign County? That is what I'm talking about. This is what I want to say. If we aren't the right church for you, no hard feelings. Come to us. We'd love to help you find a place where you could find a home because here's what I know about this revival. It is not confined to one house. It is not confined to one denomination. It's not confined to one style. It is for all people, and it is for now. And so our opportunity is to lay aside and to lean in and to say yes to what Jesus has for us right now. And I want to encourage you that I believe that's what he's asking us to do. I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for everything Jesus has done. And today, when we go to worship him in just a little bit, I want you to glorify him. I want you to praise him. I want you to sing out just as hard as you can to him, because he is the one who deserves all the glory and the honor for what's happened this year. But this is what I want to say right now in this moment. We've seen a glimpse of what's coming. You see, we've seen waves, and haven't they been fun? Isn't it fun to play in the waves? But a tsunami is coming. A tsunami of souls is coming. And what I hear the Father say is he'll give us as many as we can take care of. He'll give us as many as we can take care of. And it, this, listen, I'm not asking. I already feel overwhelmed. But it's not what I want. It's what he wants. And what he wants is for every person to know that he is the answer, that he is the one who makes us whole, that he is the one who brings life. And so it's not about my preferences. I'm like, you know, this was pretty good, God. This is, I mean, it's a little out of control, but it's pretty good. I got my hands on it, and I believe he wants to blow the walls out of this place. But it's going to take all of us. Here's the deal. Everybody gets to play, and we need an army. I think we have been playing this summer in the most beautiful way. It has been a sweet summer, but harvest is coming. Harvest is coming, and those students are coming back to the University of Illinois. And I believe that as the students come back, as people go back to school, as our students get back into their rhythm of school, and as we, what do we need to do in this season? Tell the story. Yeah. Tell the story, and the Spirit will move. And so our job is to simply partner with the Holy Spirit. We can't make anything happen. And if I'm really honest, I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared, but I think that's a perfect place to be. Because we have a Savior who has good plans, who's going to show us the way, but we're going to need every single one of us. And so you might be saying right now, like, how do I participate? Well, personally, I think you participate by taking on those roles or those disciplines of giving, praying, and fasting. That's how you personally, you prepare your heart for the harvest by giving, praying, and fasting personally. But then corporately, we're going to need to come together. And we're going to need to help each other. Now, some of you are new, and maybe you need to do Alpha, or maybe you know you want to try the School of Kingdom Ministry because you want to grow in your identity. That's great. Maybe you know you want to get into a transformation group. All of these things are good. We can help you know if those are the next right steps. But for some of you, you need to serve. Okay, let's go to Matthew. This is my last verse, and then I promise I'm wrapping it up. Matthew 9, verse 35. This is Jesus. They're talking. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. May it be, Lord. We want healing this year. Yes. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. This is a prayer that I'm praying. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Guess what? We're the workers. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to have a part. I'm going to throw a link up here. These are ways that you can serve. You know what? 4 weeks ago, I didn't know that I needed a baptism team. As it turns out, we need a baptism team who helps us. And so if you go to this link, there are ways that you can serve in this season. The Lord is here, and he is moving, and he is drawing us into this next season. And so this is what I would say. Will we say yes? Will we say yes? The harvest is here. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to head into a time of ministry or time of worship. Well, maybe. We don't know. Worship and ministry. And we'll be a time where we invite people, again, if you want to be baptized, if you want to give your life to Jesus, we'll give further instruction. But I want to just encourage you that the Spirit is here. He's here as we give him thanks and glory and honor for all that he's done and all that he's about to do. And so, Jesus, we welcome you further into this space. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. And God, blow our imaginations. Do more than we could ask or imagine in this next season. We welcome you now as we worship. In Jesus' name, amen.